We're sorry. Director Inquiries is not available on this number. Welcome to BT Operator Services. We're sorry. Welcome to BT Operator Services. Calls to this number are free. For director inquiries, please press 1. To check a line, please hold for an hour.
Would you kindly credit me with 3 wrong numbers?
Hey, can I have the wrong number that you
done? Yes. The first one was 01, they were all 0171. 824-1300.
You would have been charged for them, because it's not an incorrect, it's an incorrect number.
Incorrect number?
0171, the code doesn't exist.
I'm so sorry. My mind is out of date. Of course it wasn't that, it was 0207.
0207.
In both cases, in all 3 cases. And it was 824-1300.
Yep.
Then the second one was 589. 6142. And the third one, I've forgotten which it was. I think it might have been the same as the second one.
Okay,
some time ago.
Okay, where was she calling to?
Sorry? Well, the last one was M-O-R-K. And I've forgotten who the other one was.
How do you know it was the wrong number?
Well, because it didn't connect me with the person I wanted to speak to, and I had to try again, and eventually I got it. But who it was, I don't remember, because I made many calls.
Okay, just give me a moment. Let me just do the second one. 589-6142. I'm sorry, the second one was Mork, did you say? M-O-R-K.
M-O-R-K.
Is that who you were trying to get through to?
That's right.
Yeah, but the second number was the right number then.
Well, it connected initially wrongly, but I ultimately got it rightly.
Yes.
But I was charged for a call that I didn't get, that's the point.
I've credited your account for 1 call.
No, well, there were 3.
What's the same number?
One of them was 824-1300.
They were all 3 of them to that, were they?
Oh, no. The second one was for 589-6142.
Yeah, that was to the person you called Mork, that you said you wanted...
It was Mork, yes.
And you didn't want to get through to them?
Did want Mork, yes. Did get Mork in the end, but initially I was connected to a wrong number. That is why I'm asking you to credit me.
I have credited your account for that 1 call.
No, I've told you there were 3 calls, for goodness sake.
Yeah,
let's start all over again. The first call was 824-1300.
I've credited you for the first one that you didn't know where you dialed to, but the second number you've given me, 0207-589-6142, which you said you'd done 2 calls to, is the correct person you were dialing to. So I can't credit you for those 2 numbers.
Right, let's start all over again. The first one was 824-1300, and it gave me a wrong connection. In other words, I was charged, but I was charged for something I didn't want, and I had to dial again before I got the people I did want.
Yep, I've credited you for that one.
Right. The second one, I dialed 589-6142. That is the number of Mork.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it connected. I was charged, but I was connected with the wrong number, and therefore I want a credit for it.
So you dialed the number and it didn't put you through to the person who was called Mark?
No, it put me through to something completely wrong.
Okay, I'll credit your account.
Right. Then the third occasion, I'm not sure what number it was, but it was quite probably the 6142 again.
Okay, then I'll credit your account.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ah! quererte, Cavita de Cleopatra. Le mi vía, Cavita de Cleopatra, se dio la muerte. Y de ese modo tú serás Cleopatra.
Then you get an advert for your business on the radio at the same time.
Oh, yes. Well, you must allow me to explain, if I may, what I do, because you probably imagine I'm a perfectly normal commercial undertaking. Unfortunately, I'm not. Let me introduce myself. May I ask who I'm speaking to?
Helen.
Helen. And which broadcasting station are you again?
Star FM. We're in Slough, above Woolworth.
Yes. I have had contact with your organisation some years ago in connection with vandalism and hooligan. Now, what was his name? A very charming young man who subsequently moved on to another wireless station.
Oh, right.
Could you tell me a name of somebody it might have been, perhaps 3 years ago?
To be honest, I've only been here a couple of months myself.
Oh, well, I'd better introduce myself. First of all, you could have read my name in the local paper many, many times, because I have the misfortune to have been the victim of a very great deal of hooliganism. My name is Captain Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N.
Right.
I live at Datchet Cottage, 138 Horton Road. The telephone number you have, and for the last 40 years I've had here a nominal, but purely nominal, business called Audiorama Limited, through the name of which I presume you come to me, is that right?
That's right.
Ah, well, let me tell you what I do. I'm an inventor, and principally, on a partly charitable basis, I invent, make, use and sell, and have done since the year 1951, a range of electrically heated clothing for all manner of invalids, paraplegics, sclerotics, arthritics, rheumatics and so on.
Oh, right.
And all this is based on my own medical needs, because I suffer from an inherited thing called Raynaud disease. Have you heard of it?
I haven't, no.
You haven't? Well, it's quite a well-known thing in medical circles. It's a situation due to bad circulation,
right,
a peripheral circulatory fault, whereby when your body perspires, your feet, as they're doing at this moment, are freezing.
Right.
And your hands are liable to freeze too. And therefore, being a wireless boffin, Royal Signals, I invented and developed, purely for my own use, beginning in 1951, this range of heated clothing. And this has now overspilt to the benefit of other sufferers from a variety of medical problems. And so some of these things go out for nothing, others for next to nothing, depending on what money people have. And those people who are in employment and can pay have to pay the balance to make it possible.
Right.
The other aspect of my activities, aged 72, is that I'm a sort of two-thirds retired wireless boffin, and as such I restore very, very occasionally, because the demand, you will appreciate, is tiny, very old-fashioned, obsolete wireless sets, gramophones and tape recorders.
Oh, right, because I've got on here a type of business, TV, video and radio.
Yes, well, you see, the trouble is I've had a constant ongoing war with the people who organise these various trade directories over the years, and I cannot win the war. In that, there is nobody else who does what I do.
Right.
It is impossible to get allocated to my business a correct category.
Right.
A correct category would read repairs exclusively to obsolete, historic, museum quality, sentimental, wireless sets with glass valves in them, antiquated heavy reel-to-reel tape recorders, gramophones, acoustic and electric, and obsolete radio gramophones. That is all I do. I have nothing to do with television, except that you could have seen me on television all over the world, including Johnny Carson, David Letterman, Russell Harty, BBC One and Two, and so on and so forth. Anyway, the end result of all this is that I don't have two beans to rub together, although I'm world famous by television, which is a curious contrast.
Yeah.
Therefore, I can't afford, more than I already do, to support charitable causes. I support them in that. Let the impecunious have my products for whatever they can afford to pay.
Oh, right.
So that is, I'm afraid, the situation. However, if I can help you with anything else at any time, I will. And while you're on the line, perhaps I should mention to you that the hooliganism problem here is so bad. Does this concern you or does it not? Should I tell you about it or should I not?
Well, you can do, yeah. Well, what do I actually do?
I'll tell you roughly. The hooliganism and vandalism problem here is so absolutely terrible, and the police have consistently done nothing, and yet again nothing about it over the 40 years plus that I've lived here.
Right.
And I live, by the way, in an ancient, historic, and partly ruinous structure. Are you aware that the Montague family used to own most of the land hereabouts?
I'm not, no.
Oh, have you heard of Lord Montague?
Romeo and Juliet?
No. Have you heard of the Montague Motor Museum?
No, I haven't.
Gosh, I am surprised. Well, there is a very famous personality, English, right, called Lord Montague of Beaulieu, B-E-A-U-L-I-E-U. And forgive me if I say, as a half-French-German, that inasmuch as the English can never cope with foreign words, that the English have modified this word Beaulieu and they call it Beaulieu.
Right.
So the poor man becomes Lord Montague of Beaulieu. You haven't heard that name?
I haven't. I'm not very well educated.
No, don't worry. I suggest sometime you find out about him. He's a very interesting man. He's got a sort of manor place down near Southampton,
right,
where he has the most famous motor car museum of ancient historic motor cars, probably in the whole world. Anyway, the family of Lord Montague used to own most of the land hereabouts. Have you ever heard of a building near here called Ditton Park?
I don't think so.
Well, it's a moated mansion, 1 kilometre north of Datchet, which used to be the manorial seat of the Montague family, and this house, which is a very ancient ruin, is called Datchet Cottage. It used to be the Dower, D-O-W-E-R, house, associated with the Montague estate. Anyway, it's now a tumble-down ruin in which I live. Anyway, coming back to the hooliganism, the police have done so little, they've done virtually nothing about it, that in August last year I wrote a letter which, with all the enclosures I sent, ran to no less than 46 A4 sides, copied to the Prime Minister, complaining about the total lack of action by the police in the matter of hooliganism and vandalism in my part of Datchet. And I was so absolutely at the end of my tether in the matter that I actually wrote the following, that I had instructed my bank to cease paying that part of my council tax which is specifically designated as, quote, police authority charge, unquote. And this had been deducted from the payments made, which of course is completely unlawful. I make myself into a sort of criminal by doing this. But it's the only way I can draw attention to this frightful situation. And the council thereupon threatened, quite lawfully, to prosecute me if I didn't pay. The interesting thing is that, touch wood, up to date, they haven't prosecuted me. And that was August last year.
Right.
The Prime Minister didn't reply. In November last year, the Home Office replied on behalf of the Prime Minister, apologising for the delay, and saying only, in some detail, that special new legislation would be introduced in April of this year to make the life of the hooligans more difficult and to protect the harassed and persecuted population of places like Datchet. I just thought I'd fill you in, because if you think it useful, but I certainly don't want to bore you if it isn't, if you think it's useful for your station, I would gladly send you a copy of this 46-page document, which includes countless articles in the local press about this problem.
Well, I mean, if I do a campaign on crime and crime prevention, then I will get back in touch with you.
Yes, do.
Because
now, may I know your name? Helen what again?
Helen Phelan, P-H... E-L-A-N.
Oh, let me tell you something. You see, I have to do with ancient and historic cars. In the days before electric lighting for motor cars, and when the lighting was affected by acetylene gas, have you heard of that?
Of what, sorry?
Acetylene gas.
Yes, fiancé works for a gas company.
Your son does?
My fiancé.
Your fiancé? How interesting. Well, acetylene gas, if we go back to, say, 1910, 1900, was the means by which lighting on motor cars was accomplished. They didn't have electric lighting. They had gas lamps. And in those days, the most famous manufacturer of the highest quality polished brass, acetylene headlamps, tail lamps, and so forth, was Phelan and Moore. And they were known as P and H. P-H-E-L-A-N, I think. Is that your spelling?
P-H-E-L-A-N.
That is the spelling of Phelan and Moore, P and H, the most famous acetylene gas for motor cars manufacturers. So you must tell your fiancé, as he works for a gas company, you have something in common.
Oh, well, there you are. I never knew that.
Well, you must try and find out if you're related. If you go to, for instance, if you were to go during the month of November each year, did you know that there is a what is called a veteran car run from Hyde Park down to Brighton?
No.
Well, it is.
Why don't
you go next November? Look in the newspapers, find out the date. It's usually a Saturday or a Sunday, I think.
Right.
Usually in the very beginning of November.
go to Hyde Park or go to Brighton, either will do, and have a look at the enormous number of ancient motor cars with rattling chains and banging, puffing exhausts and beautiful polished brass headlamps. And look carefully at the headlamps, and the best ones will be inscribed Felon and Moore.
Ah. I should do that then.
Well, you must do that. You see, I have supplied, for example, I've procured and supplied a steam-propelled motor car with acetylene and gas lighting, sorry, acetylene gas and oil lighting, to His Royal Highness Prince Max von Baden, who is a German nephew of Prince Philip and an old friend of mine, who has a castle in the south of Germany. And that had lamps of that kind. I don't remember if they were Felon and Moore, but they quite probably were.
Oh.
So now you've got a little interest, you must research into your ancestry, because it's very interesting.
I shall do.
Fascinating. Well, you've got my telephone number. The name is Captain Maurice Seddon. And as I say, I've actually been to your station and broadcast from your studios, which I recall are on the first floor, or were, of a building called the Observatory.
Yes, that's right, yes.
And who was this charming fellow? I've got a note of his name. So anyway, he moved on from you and became even more famous at a larger and better known station,
the name of which I've forgotten.
Sorry?
We've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wish you very good luck with your collecting. I wish I could help you.
Yeah, I mean, if I need some info on crime prevention, I shall give you a call back.
Yes, do. Okay. And equally bear in mind that if in the course of your work you come across people who have problems of freezing, as I'm doing at the moment, because I haven't had time to plug in my lead yet, when I came to the telephone, you know where to refer them.
Okay.
Electrically heated inner gloves, electrically heated insoles, my own invention, electrically heated under jackets, electrically heated under trousers, and electrically heated breathing masks for people who suffer from emphysema.
Right.
So it's very nice talking to you, and all the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, please.
I'm sorry, who is speaking?
My name's Kevin, from A&J Crowd.
Oh, yes, Kevin. He left here at about, I think it was about 12:15,
yeah,
saying that he had to go and get a special saw blade. He showed me an unbelievably blunt blade, yeah, for cutting things at a precise angle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I don't know what it's called. Anyway, he had to get another one of these blades, a long thing with a hole at each end.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said as that would bring him virtually to lunchtime,
yeah,
he would see me again around about 2:00.
Okay.
And with that, he left.
Right, okay.
And that would be, let me see, about 30 minutes ago.
Okay. Could you ask him to ring me as soon as he comes back?
Does he know your number?
He will do, yeah.
He knows your number. Has he got his portable telephone with him?
He hasn't, unfortunately, no.
See, righto. Yes, I'll ask him to ring you.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Put a note for him, because I have a memory like a sieve and I would probably forget it.
Okay,
okay, good. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
The gap to the lavatory when she had her leg in plaster, walking very slowly like a...
Speaking?
It's Chris back, yeah?
Who is speaking?
Kevin from...
Kevin, I wrote a note immediately after you telephoned,
yeah,
writing also the time of your call on it, and left it for Chris, who has not yet returned.
Seddon, is that the Admiral?
Yes, it is.
Good morning to you. Do forgive me. I met you once and your wife. You were in gardening very industriously outside Brendan Care.
Oh, yes.
You must forgive me. I've forgotten the spelling of your name. Could you spell it to me?
C-R-O-U-P.
P-R-O-U-P. Thank you very much. Could I speak to your wife, please? I hope she's better now, by the way.
She's just gone out, actually, so you can't. But
it,
can I forget your name? Morris Seddon.
Yes, it's Morris Seddon. S for sugar, E-double-D-O-N.
Right, you have a relative in Foxville, don't
you? That's right, it's Lucilla Ferdy. Cecilia, C-E-C-I-L-I-A, Foley, F for Freddy, L-L-E-Y.
I'm afraid she's not in. Would you like to ring? Where are you speaking from? Or?
I'm speaking from near Windsor, between Windsor and London.
Would you like to ring again? And are you, is that where you live?
Yes, I live there. Shall I ring? You know, what sort of time?
Well, she'll be back in about a quarter of an hour.
Well, all right.
Give her a ring then in, say, half an hour?
Half an hour be fine.
Approximately half an hour. I would normally ring in the evening because it's cheaper, but as I shall be out this evening, and as she specifically rang me up and asked me to ring her, I think it best I should speak as early as possible.
Okay, that'd be lovely.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
I bought a baby belly, for which I paid, they wanted 69, I paid 65, and I was given a written guarantee by the supplier that it was in working order. I sold it to the client, but could only sell it for half price, because apparently only one of the two red rings on top was working.
Right, well, I can... Did you put it on the select switch?
Well, I tried all positions of the various switches. Could you tell me what is meant to be the function of the selector switch?
Right, well, what it is that because it's plugged in, and it's got wired in, it can only reach 30 amps.
Yes, I know that.
Right. One and grill, a ring in the oven, two rings at once, the oven and one ring. In order to, is it the ring that's not working?
Yes.
Right. What you need to do with the selector switch is put from the zero position, you turn it clockwise once till it clicks into that, and then you turn the ring switch on itself.
Right. Now, when you turn it clockwise once, what is that position marked? What symbol is on the knob?
On some bellings they've got half a ring, and some they've actually got a picture on the oven selector knob of a ring.
When you've got it in that position, the right-hand ring works, yes?
That's right.
What else works?
Well, while it's in that position, the only thing that can work alongside it would be the other ring if you turned it on.
Ah, so both rings can work. Subject to that switch being in that position.
Right.
Now, is there any position in which the left-hand ring does work, but the right-hand ring does not?
No, the left-hand ring you just turn on by itself. It's nothing to do with the selector switch.
Oh, I see. Well, I actually did a test with an ohm meter. Are you familiar with the resistances of the individual elements?
I'm not familiar with the resistances to
that. Now, let me just work this thing out. I'm at 50 ohms. It's about 4.5 amps. It's about 1,300 watts, isn't it? 1,300 watts. Now, what I was getting was I could get the left-hand ring to work, indicating 50 ohms.
Yeah.
But no matter how much I twiddled all the other knobs, and there were three more knobs,
yeah,
I got no indication at all of any, I mean, if a second ring had come in, I would surely have got half that resistance, wouldn't I?
Yeah. Are you actually with the baby's element at the moment?
No, it's been sold.
Right.
It's gone out at half price.
Well, I should definitely phone up the people who've got it turned. Just put that button sort of once to the right and then turn the main ring on by sexual thermostat. That would definitely solve the problem.
Well, but you see, I tried twiddling all the knobs. I turned the left-hand ring to the on position. And I then tried all possible combinations of the other three things, everything I could think of.
Right.
And at no point in time did the resistance of that 50-ohm thing, it never went below that value.
Right.
Would you agree with me 15 ohms is about 1,300 watts?
I would, yes.
And would that be about the resistance of one ring?
That's right, yes.
So should it drop to half that if two rings came on?
No,
it shouldn't. I see. Right. So you would think that thing is faulty?
No, I believe, well, if you put it to the position that I've told you to put it to and it's not working on that, it will be thermostat, the element's gone, you know.
Yes, okay. And, yes, I see. So recapitulating again, the combinations you can have are, you can have either the oven or the grill, is that right?
Right.
right. If you've got the oven or the grill on, can you have any rings on or no rings?
You can have the oven on and one ring.
You can have the oven and one ring. Right. Or you can have two rings.
Sorry?
Or you can have two rings and no oven.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I see. And that's what we're not getting.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And as to the freezer, there's no hurry, but as and when.
Yes, certainly.
You've got my number or not?
Your number in my mouth, yeah.
All the best.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Hello,
Cook. Is that Mr. Cook?
This is son-in-law speaking. Can I help you?
Oh, yes. Are you the gentleman I spoke to this morning about the unsatisfactory baby belling? Should I speak to you or speak to him?
Yeah.
To whom should I speak?
Charles, this is the chap who you first saw originally.
Yes, I see. Now, when will he be available? Who ought I to speak to about the fact that it unfortunately is not satisfactory?
Okay, sir. No problem. If you bring it back, I'll return your money.
No, that isn't the problem. It has already been, you see, I took the word of the chap who sold it to me that it was in perfect working order. I therefore, perhaps rather unwisely, did not test it on my own premises. Instead, I took it a distance of something like 65 miles west of where I am. I'm near Slough, and I took it a further 65 miles west, supplied it to the client, only to find that I could only sell it at half price because one of the rings definitely doesn't work. It has been sold, it has gone. What I'm asking you to do is to be good enough to refund me half what I paid for it, which I think is reasonable under the circumstances. Now, I have just telephoned an expert, a chap who has a shop, who sells all the, who specialises in refrigeration and cookers only, and he tells me the following, that on that changeover switch, the facilities are either you get two rings working, or you get one ring and the oven. But the fact of the matter is that no matter where you put the switches, you can only, the oven works, the grill works, and one of the rings works. But the other ring, under no circumstances, can be made to heat up.
Okay, sir, right. I understand. The only problem is, sir, that we won't give you back half your money. We would give you back the money in full for the item back.
I can't give you the item back. This is what I've tried to explain to you. First of all, I have already delivered it at great cost to myself, a distance of 65 miles west of here, which is something like 90 miles from you. And secondly, it has been sold.
Right. I can let you have a ring, sir, if you wish.
Well, that isn't much help, because I'm not going to be going down there again for a very long time, if at all, and it would mean a long journey.
Well, if you give me the address, sir, I'll post it to you. I could post you it.
Well, that really doesn't solve the problem. I have only been able to collect half the cost. I've been able to sell it at £30.
No problem, sir, but all that we can do, if you want to return it, we'd give you the money back in full. But,
how can I do it when I have already sold it?
Well, other than that, we can just give you a ring for it, sir, that's all.
That, I'm sorry, doesn't solve the problem. I'm afraid if we can't settle this amicably, which I'd hoped we could, I shall have no alternative but report the matter to the Trading Standards Officer.
Okay. Just note that we've offered you your full refund, would you?
You've offered the full refund on something which has already been sold and can't be brought back to you.
No, it can be brought back if you wish, sir, but you won't...
Not otherwise than with enormous expenditure greater than the value of the article.
Well, I can only give you back your money. I can't do no more than that.
I'm very sorry. It's fair of you to offer that, and that would be perfectly acceptable if I still had the blessed thing, but I haven't, and so it's technically impossible.
Well, it's either that or a ring, sir, and I mean, either way... can have either of which you desire, you know.
Well, I shall consult the Trading Standards Officer, unless I hear from you to the contrary.
So you give them the full details?
Yes, of course I will, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, bye.
Is that Lady True?
Yes, it is.
Good morning to you. It's Captain Morris Seddon. You left a recorded message for me when I was away.
Thank you.
47600.
Hallo?
Hallo, und wie geht's dir, Dieter?
Gut.
Sehr schön. Sag mal, was ist heute für ein Tag?
Ich hab keine Ahnung, ich glaube Donnerstag.
The blind leading the blind. Well, I'm not sure either. I also think it's Donnerstag, der dritte. Aber ich bin nicht ganz sicher.
Ja, so wie ich errechnen kann, was ich an Arbeit geleistet habe und erledigt habe, ist es heute Donnerstag.
Ah, ich glaube, das wird sicher stimmen.
Ja.
Ja, und wie geht die Gesundheit?
Ja, gut.
Sehr schön. Ja, wie ich oft gesagt habe, du bist ein Wunder der Schöpfung. Wie du das leistest mit deinem Alter, ist unbegreiflich.
Ja, ich bin nicht ein Wunder der Schöpfung, sondern ich mache nicht all die Fissematenten, die andere machen.
Das auf alle Fälle machst du nicht. Nein, nein. Nein, aber trotzdem, du hast eine Beschaffenheit, eine sehr zähe, robuste Beschaffenheit, muss man wirklich sagen.
Ja Gott, wenn man alleine im Leben gestanden hat und alleine im Leben steht, dann wird das von einem gefordert. Ja, und die meisten, die lernen klagen, ohne zu leiden.
Das ist sehr wahr. Das ist sehr wahr.
Friedrich der Große hat gesagt, lerne leiden, ohne zu klagen.
Das ist sehr gut.
Und man beobachtet Menschen, die lernen klagen, ohne zu leiden. Nicht wahr?
Ein umgekehrter Zustand.
Ja.
Ja, richtig. Ja, die wenigsten können das andere.
Ja. Was hörst du von der anderen Front?
Welche andere Front?
Na, also N und Konsorten.
Ach so, An und Konsorten. Ja, die Nachricht da ist, dass die Nächte, du kennst diese Schwerin, ja? Ursula?
Nein.
Oh. Die Ursula Gräfin von Schwerin. Kennst du nicht?
Nein.
Ah. Das ist eine Deutsche, die Anna kennengelernt hat, ich glaube in die 50er Jahre in England. Irgendwo in Holland Park oder so. Wie, weiß ich nicht. Und dieser, zu einem späteren Zeitpunkt, heiratete eine sehr krüppelige, alte Freiherr oder was weiß ich, von Schwerin. Baron von Schwerin oder so. Graf von Schwerin. Wodurch sie Gräfin von Schwerin wurde. Sie ist eine Freundin von Anna. Sie hat eine Tochter namens Mechthild, die früher gute Leistungen gebracht hat. Sie hat einen Betrieb in Gange gebracht für Gartenwirtschaft in Dortmund. Und die Stadt Dortmund wurde Kunde bei ihr für die Pflege von den städtischen Gärten Dortmunds. Und mit der Laufe der Zeit und die immer schlechter werdenden Wirtschaft in Deutschland ist diese Mechthild jetzt auf schwierigen Zeiten gekommen. Sie verdient nicht mehr, der Bankrott droht und so weiter. Und die besucht Anna jedes Jahr, also ungefähr zu dieser Jahreszeit. Und zurzeit ist sie jetzt bei Anna, aber diesmal mit einem Unterschied. Sie lebte zusammen mit einem jungen Deutschen früher, womit sie nicht verheiratet war, der aber gar nicht aus ihren Kreisen kam. Und dieses Verhältnis ist auseinandergegangen. Und sie lebt jetzt zusammen mit einem Kanadier. Ich habe nur ein kurzes Erlebnis mit ihm telefonisch gehabt, wo er ziemlich unsympathisch wirkte, muss ich wirklich sagen. Dieser heißt Daniel, Daniel sowieso. Ich weiß nicht, wie er einen Familiennamen hat. Und der Daniel ist mit die Mechthild bei Anna wohnhaft zurzeit. Und, Entschuldigung, vermutlich aus Mitleid für die Mechthilds finanzielle Lage, sonst weiß ich nicht warum. Sie hat bestellt, dass der Daniel bei ihr in England bleiben darf und soll, eine Zeit lang, wie lange wissen wir nicht, und soll unter anderem Geld verdienen, dadurch, dass er die Rückseite von Annas Haus, er soll das pinseln und farben und was weiß ich alles. And what is that thing called pointing, you know, the brick in between the bricks? and all that kind of thing. And when I telephoned yesterday, I said, oh, how are you getting on? She said, oh, yes, Danielle has cooked a meal for me, even. And today, I think they're still there with her getting on with I don't know what. So that is all I can tell you about that situation.
Wie geht es dem Lorenz? Was macht
der? Der Lorenz, als ich zuletzt mit ihm sprach, er war sehr wütend mit die Anna, weil er hatte laut Lorenz zu mir über ihm, Lorenz, eine Lüge gesagt. Es war folgendes. Der Lorenz hat mir erklärt, mehrere Male, dass seit Anfang dieser Angelegenheit über Spanien und diese Wohnung da, er hat klar verstanden, im klarsten Weise, dass die Anna das zu der Zeit auf meinen Namen übergeschrieben hat. Und alles andere war Märchen. Und neulich sagte ich zu Anna, well, you should really speak to Lawrence about this, because he knows very well and has known since the beginning of this whole thing that you quite clearly transferred that thing into my name at the time when we went to that office and not at some later date at your death. Oh, said Anna, no, I don't want to talk to Anna. No, I should only talk to my solicitor. I've spoken to Lawrence, and Lawrence has told me that you have, now what was that word? She used a very special English word which I wrote down at the time, and now at the moment I've forgotten what it is. Es hieß so viel wie irregeführt, in dieser Art. Aber wie war dieses Wort? Deluded, ja, ja. And he said to me, also Lorenz soll gesagt haben, angeblich zu Anna, that I had deluded her, deluded. So habe ich nachgeschaut im Lexikon zu sehen, ob diese deluded das bedeutete, was ich glaubte. Und ich hatte doch recht. Also ein boshaften Andeutung. Und als ich das nächste Mal mit Lorenz sprach, I said to Lorenz, well, I really don't know what I'm to make of this, because when I confronted Anna with the fact that you had known about this from the beginning, that she had handed the thing over to me, that it had been umgeschrieben auf meinen Namen, she said to me that you, Lorenz, had said that I had deluded her. So Lorenz was very angry about this and said, this is entirely untrue. I have definitely not said that. I have repeatedly told Anna that in my knowledge of the case, it was so that she had transferred it into your name at the time of the visit to that office. And I'm extremely angry with her. I don't know, I can't tell you how angry I am that she tells you this, which is an absolute lie. Well, then I spoke to him on several further occasions, and each time he was full of anger against Anna in this same vein. So that was that one. His other news is that there's a dearth of work. You see, the whole economy everywhere in England as well as Germany and elsewhere is going very badly. And he gets very, very little work now for his translating. So when a very poor job offered itself, he took it on the basis that it was better than nothing. Well, this involves going every day in terrible, terrible travelling conditions, in the depressive environment of the filthy and grossly overcrowded underground railways, to the east of London, to a place called Old Street, where apparently there is some sort of work for him. It isn't even teaching Germans, which is his speciality. Thank you. Das ist auch eine Art an der Stelle von Reichtum, womit ich zurechtkomme.
Ja, ja.
Aber viele Leute, die wenig Geld haben, haben auch nicht solche Begabungen. Und für den muss es dann schwierig sein.
Ja, also die Armut und ich glaube die Verschuldung der Menschen so im Allgemeinen ist enorm.
Das ist sehr schlimm, die Verschuldung. Und das wird sehr angetrieben durch die Publicity und Advertising und all dieses Zeug.
Ja.
Und leider, die ganze kommerzielle Welt fordert diese Sache und bringt die Leute in fürchterlichen Verschuldung.
Ja.
Also du kennst diese Schwerin-Leute überhaupt nicht, nein?
Gar nicht.
Aha.
Also, und hat mich auch nicht interessiert, weil ich von den wenigen Bemerkungen nicht merkte, dass da wirklich großer Adel ist.
Nein, das ist es überhaupt nicht. Von Schwerin ist schon eine berühmte Familie, aber diese Frau kommt überhaupt nicht aus diesen Kreisen. Sie hat sich nur eingefädelt, sozusagen. Und Anna behauptet, sie hätte diesen adligen Mann aus einem Altersheim oder ein Irrenheim, ist vielleicht zu viel gesagt, aber irgendwas von dieser Art, sie hat ihn herausgeholt und überredet zu heiraten. Oh, und dann, Moment, dann ist noch etwas mit dieser Frau, das hatte ich vergessen. Wer hat mir das denn gesagt? War das die Anna oder wer? Ich glaube, die Anna sagte mir, das wird schon 2, 3, 4 Jahre zurückliegen. Sie hätte irgendeinen Vertrag gemacht mit irgendeiner Person, eine Art Zahnarzt oder früherer Zahnarzt. Und diesen Mann wollte sich einen Titel erwerben und hat das insofern erreicht, dass er durch Bezahlung sich als ihr Stiefsohn oder Adoptivsohn hat nennen lassen.
Ja.
So dass er auf diese Weise zu den erblichen Titel Baron oder was weiß ich, Graf von Schwerin gekommen ist.
Ja.
Das hat die Anna mir erzählt.
Ja, ja, so wird das gemacht. So hat das Herr Thyssen gemacht, nicht wahr?
Ach, wirklich?
Ja, nur der Thyssen hat sich von einem, der Sohn vom Thyssen, vom August, nicht?
Ja.
Also August war ja der Alte, der diesen Reichtum erworben hat.
Ja.
Durch Kriegsgewinne und so weiter.
Ja.
Und der hatte 2 Söhne und der eine, der hat ja als 4. Frau eine Spanierin geheiratet, hatte diese enorme Kunstsammlung vom Vater geerbt und die ist ja nun in Madrid geblieben, nicht? Dafür hat die 4. Frau, die also eine Spanierin war, dafür gesorgt. Und dieser Heinrich von Thyssen,
ja,
der hat sich von einem ungarischen Baron adoptieren lassen.
Aha.
Und dann hat er eine Baronin Barmewitza geheiratet. Und deshalb nannte er sich Heinrich Baron von Thyssen Barmewitza. Und der starb neulich, das war aber, da muss man nur sagen, also eine sehr gute Erscheinung, dem nahm man den Aristokraten ab, obwohl er das nicht war, nicht wahr?
Wirklich.
Und der ist neulich gestorben. Also das habe ich noch in meiner Jugend erlebt. Die waren so ungefähr 5 bis 10 Jahre jünger. Und da hatten wir noch in der Tanzstunde gesagt, ha, die Thyssen, also ich bin ja von Düsseldorf, musst du bedenken.
Ah ja.
Und Thyssen war ja Ruhrgebiet. Ha, wenn die, der Heinrich und der Fritz hieß der andere wohl, wir würden die doch nicht dann, wir würden doch nicht die in unserer Tanzstunde aufnehmen. Also das ist alles noch die Generation, der August, der Vater, der war ja die Generation meines Vaters.
Ja.
Und der alte Vater, der hat gesagt, dem wurde ja auch Adel angeboten und so weiter, nicht wahr?
Ja.
Der hat seine Köchin geheiratet und hat gesagt, ich will mit all den Fissematenten nichts zu tun haben. Aber jetzt, da ist eine Tochter, der hat 4-mal geheiratet, und die hat dann tatsächlich einen richtigen Baron geheiratet.
Ha.
Die lebt noch in Deutschland als Baronin Pipapo.
Aha.
Ja.
So geschehen diese Dinge. Das ist die Schwerin-Angelegenheit.
Ja. Also N hat aber immer irgendwie renommiert, nicht wahr?
Wie meinst du?
Ja, welch feinen Umgang sie hat.
Ah, der. Na ja. Und diese Leute sind jetzt ansässig bei Anna. Wer weiß, vielleicht bleiben die da für alle Zeiten. Weiß es nicht, wir müssen abwarten.
Na. Ja, das sind solche Sachen. Und, aber die haben ja auf die Dauer dann Erfolg. Das wissen ja nicht alle, die Geschichte darüber. Und selbst Thea von Kalifornien sagte voller Stolz, ich habe die große Kunstsammlung von Baron von Thyssen gesehen. Also der alte Thyssen, der August Thyssen, der wurde ja durch unsere Düsseldorfer Künstler wunderbar beraten. Und man darf ja nicht vergessen, dass um 1900, da konntest du so Raphaels by the Dozen kaufen. Das wurde, also die Renaissance wurde um 1900 überhaupt nicht geschätzt. Und die ganze Barockkunst auch nicht. Da konntest du Barockschnitzereien und alles aus dieser Periode für nichts kaufen. Und dann kam ja diese enorme Entwicklung, dass also diese internationale Kunstwelt die Renaissance ganz hoch spielte, nicht wahr? Und dann plötzlich kauften ja auch die Museen Raphael und so weiter. Und die Barockkunst erlebte ja eine Renaissance, das war ja fabelhaft. Und du konntest um 1900, konntest die Engelsköpfe und so geschnitzt im 18. Jahrhundert, nicht? Von Next und Nothing kaufen.
Ja, ja. Ah, das kann ich mir vorstellen. Wie die Mode sich ändert.
Naja, und man hat ja dann auch erkannt, dass ein vielleicht Niedergang des Handwerks da ist und überhaupt der Begabungen. Das gibt es ja schon länger durch das technische Zeitalter. Und durch diese Erkenntnisse, nicht wahr, ist das ja zu gigantischen Preisen gekommen. Also du kannst ja noch nachlesen, wie der Getty Sachen gekauft hat, die also endlose Millionen heute wert sind, nicht? Und der hat das ja noch von Next to Nothing gekauft. Und der war ja ein unerhört kluger und begabter Mensch, nicht? Also das war direkt eine besondere Begabung. Der hat ja gekauft 1929, während die Wirtschaft völlig danieder lag, nicht wahr?
Ja.
Und also da gibt es ja Sachen, die geradezu fantastisch sind. Es gibt einen berühmten Ardabil-Teppich, wenn du weißt.
Was für Teppich?
Der berühmte Ardabil-Teppich.
Aha. Nein, ich habe etwas davon gehört. Ich weiß
also
nichts davon.
Ist, da gibt es zwei Ardabil-Teppiche, nicht wahr? Die einfach so berühmt sind, weil sie also von technisch und künstlerisch von unerhörter Qualität sind. Ja, also das ist ein einmaliges Stück überhaupt in der Welt. Das hat der Getty in der miesen Wirtschaftszeit um 30, nicht? Das war ja diese Weltwirtschaftskrise. Da hat er das für ein Apfel und Ei gekauft, den Teppich. Er besitzt ihn, ich habe ihn gesehen, im Los Angeles Council Museum. Naja, und so hat der Getty überhaupt fabelhafte Sachen gekauft. Er hatte das
Sie
Gefühl
hören
dafür.
Die Sendung ja. Wellenlänge.
Er hat das effektiv.
Vous écoutez la transmission longueur d'onde. Udite la trasmissione lunghezza d'onde. You are hearing the transmission called wavelength.
Das hätte immer der Besitzer gefunden. Das ist nicht gerettet worden von ihm, sondern er hat sich in den Besitz kostbarster Sachen gebracht.
Ah, ja, für wenig Geld.
Ja, was heißt denn hier gerettet?
Mhm.
Der Preis war niedrig und jede Menge Käufer hätte so eine Sache gefunden.
Und ich hatte den Eindruck, dass der Getty vielleicht einer war, der so viel Geld hatte, dass er in der Lage war, diese Dinge in eine richtige Umwelt unterbringen zu können, wodurch die für die Zukunft bleiben würden.
Ja, na ja.
Aber vielleicht nicht. Ich weiß nicht, vielleicht habe ich das fehlverstanden.
Ja, Gott, der hat dann später ja in fabelhafter Umgebung gelebt, nicht? Der hat ja von dem Duke of Sunderland, glaube ich, oder das ist von Suffolk, no, ich glaube Sunderland, hat er ja ein Estate gekauft und hat dann ja nur in kostbaren Antiquitäten gelebt.
Aha, das war sein Geschmack.
Ja, den hat er hat überhaupt im Anfang seines Lebens keine Ahnung von Antiken gehabt und von Kunstdingen.
Das ist erstaunlich.
Und das hat er sich, weil er eben so ein begabter Mensch war, alles erworben, nachdem er aber schon 30 war oder so, nicht?
Tatsächlich.
Der war ja Millionär mit 25 Jahren.
Aha. Und dann ging das los.
Und dann hat er das alles erworben. Also das ist ein hochbegabter Mensch gewesen, nicht wahr?
Ja.
Der eben...
Message for Inspector Nick Evans from Captain Maurice Seddon, 1300 hours, Thursday, 3rd April 03. You asked me to let you know, and I now do so. Yesterday evening, 1600 hours, I was travelling south down Ditton Road, Datchet, when I observed clearly the parked blue and white criminal lorry of that person who had deliberately...